Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for May 7th, 2023. Karen Eileen, are you ready?
Super ready.
Awesome.
My mic and close this door. Hold on.
Karen Eileen, you are an actress and voiceover coach with other things that you also do. We can talk about that, but welcome, Cash Flow Tiger. Victories. You were paid $5,000 for an audiobook that you have been working on. And the reason you were paid, which is a portion of it, right? Up front.
It's a portion. Yeah.
Yeah. For the stuff that you've done so far is because you opened the door to the conversation and said, hey, you know what? Could I possibly? And the answer was,
Yeah.
Congratulations. And then you had a great birthday. That's amazing.
That's a huge win. Yes. Yes.
So you just asked, how did you ask for the money?
I'm strengthening my muscle around this, around asking clients for money. So the way it came up was the book is taking much longer than the typical book would take with mutual agreement with myself and the rights holder. I gave myself like a 30-day window. If I hadn't heard from her, to contact her, and she beat me to it and sent a little apology note. And I said, well, if it had been 30 days, I would have hit you up. And if we're going at this pace, the book is going to go into 2025. If we're really going to go at this place. And if that happens, I would love to have a conversation about remitting some funds to your fabulous narratress. And she was like, oh my God, absolutely. So I just kind of went, opened it with that, with humor.
Yep.
Charm.
Oh, good job.
New paymaster, sort of onboarded with a really great audiobook paymaster. And that experience was amazing. Amazeballs. Highly recommend. I can post that if anybody needs it.
Awesome. Yeah. Love it. So we have a communication question and a mindset question.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you wrote. I recently got a nice lump of cash.
Yes,
and I'm very aware of my old story, which is, oh, great. I got a lump of cash. All my bills are covered for the next bit of time. So I can just chill and relax and make art. Some part of me wants to constantly shift all thought away from cash and just immerse fully on art. Almost like I'm acting as if I win teeny weeny little grants from my whole journey and then just stop. Cash creation.
Yeah.
How do I create something other than this kind of black and white art or commerce story mindset? It feels like if I let cash creation all the way in, a fear pops up of, oh my God, it'll never end. As an artist, I just have to be on cash creation treadmill forever. And it's exhausting with no breaks until I have $1 million in the bank. Yeah, that sounds familiar, I'm sure, to people listening.
Okay.
So when you enter that spin cycle of like, you get the cash, but then your brain's like, no, but you should rest. And you're like, no, I must create more. Like, how are you already handling that when you get in the spin cycle?
It hasn't been a spin cycle, which is why it's so problematic. It's a spa cycle. So when I get cash, every part of me goes, oh my God, kick back, put the cucumbers on your eyes, sleep late, catch up on your laundry. You know, it's like I'm on vacation. I got a lump of cash, therefore I'm on vacation. So there is no spin cycle. Except now, being in this course, I'm like, oh, this is probably not working well, because what happens is I'm at the spa, the artist spa, until I look at my checkbook and my bills, or I get a reminder and I'm like, oh crap. And then I spin. So maybe it's spa and spin.
It's definitely a cycle.
Yes.
It's definitely a cycle. Yes, that's not like,
it's not serving me.
Yeah. So when you think about cash creation, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But your brain is making being in that mode scary, it sounds like
yes,
I can't do it doesn't work, it hurts, kind of thing.
It feels bad, it's confused, like all of the ick narratives come up, and I know that needs a huge reframe. That's all internal work, so I'm here for it. Yeah.
And if your brain is making this scary, then you have like a strong desire to run away from it
Oh, yeah.
and exist in spa. But if it's not that scary for you to be over in cash creation mode and it's not that onerous, you'll have less of an impulse to escape from it, and you can live over there a little bit more.
Is the goal to make cash creation super fun? Is that the idea? Idea? Because I don't, I mean, that's a glorious idea. I don't have that yet.
I don't actually think that's the goal.
Okay.
I think the goal is to make it not scary. Because the truth is, you will need to be able to create cash for the rest of your life. Notice I didn't say you'll have to create cash for the rest of your life. No, but
And
you'll have to
never
be able
rest. You
to.
didn't see that.
Right.
You said and never rest ever and never have a spa day. Mental
Right.
spa day.
You will need the ability to create cash, and creating it can also be receiving it from different sources, but you will have the need to be able to, just in case, for the rest of your life, because we live on Earth, and Earth is a money-based society, and in America, even more so. But with bigger muscles, it becomes less exhausting to create. And it becomes less scary. It's just like, oh, okay, this happened. And now I have to turn my attention to making cash. I mean, I had a business and everything. And then I had tooth work that I had to do that was like
Dental.
$4,000. And I didn't have dental insurance. It's like $4,000. I'm just like, did I want to sh shift into like make cash mode? No. But could I? Did I know what to do? Did I have skills to do it? Did I have infrastructure to be able to like generate $4,000? I didn't want to, but it wasn't scary. It was like, oh, okay, here we go. And that's the feeling you just want to have. Like, oh, okay, it's not scary to be over here. Do we all want to be creating our art and doing our little projects and all that stuff? Yes, me too. Me too. But it's not scary to be in one of the other places. And I don't have a desire to escape my life, like any part of it, even though some parts are painful and some parts are hard. But the muscles allow me to be like, okay, well, I don't need to flee because I'm not telling myself really scary stories. Yeah. So, a story that you have to greet yourself with when, because let's say tomorrow you get another influx of cash and immediately you're like, oh, cucumbers on the eyes. It's like,
A little fizzy water.
I have to remind myself, I am capable. I create cash. I am capable of creating cash. I don't have to escape from it, and I can do it. Week after week, I can work on it week after week after week after week after week after week after week without exhausting myself.
That's a new that's just a new framework because I didn't realize until this money came in, of course, being in cash flow, that my cycle has been get a lump of cash, rest, check out, get another lump of cash, rest, check out. And I'm like, so getting a lump of cash as no longer being a signal to stop everything and like lay on the comforters for a little while or a day or whatever. It's not that anymore. And I know we've talked about this, but the way the muscles get stronger of creating cash is trying stuff. I mean,
Yes, going to the gym and lifting the weight, whether that's looking for a job, applying for a job, looking for more clients, marketing your business. It's the exact same thing as working as an artist. Like you, if you get on a television show and stop all networking and stop all marketing and don't talk to anybody on your social media because you got a paycheck, you're on a show. You get off that show eventually, and it's like, oh,
Unless it's The
nothing's
Simpsons.
in the pipeline. Nobody new knows me.
Oh my
Right.
God, Christine. This is so I'm realizing that what I've been trying to do without being conscious is sort of act as if I'm retired and all of this other stuff is optional because it's a lovely hobby. And that is absolutely not what's happening, except that's what I my fantasy life is that it's that I retire early, a gazillionaire, and all of this stuff is just really easy to choose and not choose. I'm sort of shocked when that's actually not the case. That's confronting me. I'm a little shocked.
And it's not to say that you might not become wealthy, but the way you're going to become wealthy is by getting really strong muscles and dealing with money, creating it, growing it, organizing it, so someone doesn't come along and steal it.
Or I don't sort of like squander's the wrong word, but I don't push it away.
Like, I don't need any more, or I don't want, but anything can happen, and having millions of dollars in the bank doesn't assure you of always having millions. I mean, Nancy Silverton, who founded the La Brea Bakery here in Los Angeles, and several other restaurants, she got herself, and she was divorced from her husband, $5 million, and invested it all with Bernie Madoff. So, and then she had to go back and open another restaurant and start doing frozen ice cream stuff that you can buy in the grocery store. Like, she had to work again. So anything can happen. And the good thing about Nancy is she had strong business muscles. Did she want to use them at that age in her life? No. But could she? Yep. And she went and she did.
Super interesting. I mean, it was either you or Miata, maybe both of you talk about what is your why? Like, why do I want to get really good at creating cash? And I'm like, because it's this thing that I want, this life of like more choice and ease, but mostly it's something you and I have talked about, which is to teach myself that I'm very good at creating cash. I don't believe it yet. I'm acting as if, right? Because I've got this village to support me. That'll probably be the biggest gift of it.
And you will feel that is how you build security. Security comes from within,
Inner.
and just confidence. And you can take more risks and you can bet on yourself more because you're like, okay, I know how to do this part of it. And it's not just creating cash as an entrepreneur, it's in a job, it's however. Because even if you've got a huge inheritance right now, and I mean, $500,000 would be lovely, but that's not going to last you a lifetime. Like, that's not going to solve everything. And I can throw any number at you and say, tell me why that's not enough. And you too, tell me why it's not enough. So I want you to have strong business muscles so that if you do get a huge influx, even from like an inheritance, you know what to do with it. You have channels that it goes in. It doesn't mean, because so many people, oh, now it's spa for 3 years. Have no money and
Travel
not
around the world.
flaccid muscles at the end of those 3 years.
I'm
That's
so
why.
excited to get off the merry-go-round or the roller coaster. I mean, I've stepped off it and now it's both terrifying and exciting, but I've definitely stepped off of it.
The great thing about you getting the $5,000 and being able to like cover your bills is it frees up your energy. To put it's like, oh, great, now I can go work on cash creation without having the stress of like, it's gonna come tomorrow.
I was so close to the edge, so close to that edge. Received, heard. And I want to, and thank you to everybody in this room and anybody who's listening to the replay for the feedback about my pricing questions, because it was so helpful to have the help of the group in between, because life happens and Christine and our you're installed in my head, Christine, but I didn't know what you would have said there. So I was
No, that's
happy to have
good.
a
I'm so
village
sorry.
to.
I was like in my little cave working on projects and I
Cave
wasn't.
is good. Cave is
No,
very
that's
good.
so. The second question you had is, can we talk about healthy boundaries around this work? And I assume you mean like the money work. with well-meaning family members and friends, how to talk about what I'm doing here and how to handle criticism or judgment. Can you just clarify what you want from that?
Sure. Here's two examples. The friend who let me park some credit card balances on their cards at 0%. So that's in process. That's not done yet, but it's happening. They were okay with it, okay with it, okay with it. And then this week they said, "Well, you're not going to screw up my credit, right? I don't have to be afraid. I have to be worried." And I'm like, are you now not okay with this? You were good. No, I just, want to make sure you're not going to screw up my credit, because I like my credit and I'm happy to help you, but like I want. So there was that sort of very fear-based thing that came at me after they were like, "We're good. We're happy to help you." And the second thing was, because they're helping me, they want to initiate some sort of monthly check-in with me. Because now their credit is connected to my credit and what I say I'm doing. And I'm like, breathe, because just breathe. I don't know whether to be like, absolutely not, this is not appropriate, or like, sure, because this is very big deal for somebody to like put their credit at risk and trust you, me, meaning. So those are two examples right off the top of my head. Those both happened this week.
Okay, yeah. So, when someone's like, it's cool, it's cool, it's cool, they're just feeling jittery for whatever reason. Either they see the money land on their account or whatever. So then maybe just asking them, what would make you feel more comfortable right now? Like, I see that you've moved from like feeling cool and now you're worried. Is there something I can do to make you feel more comfortable? It sounds like they're like, yeah, I need to check in with you every week.
That's right. They
So it's
wanted
like,
to do it every week. And I said, I think I was the one who said, like, how about once a month? And they were like, okay, monthly something. And I'm like, okay, all right.
and so you've put like a lump sum, and then at some point you'll pay it off before the thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of moving. The goal is to get everything back onto my cards at 0%. So I'm doing a tremendous amount of moving things around in a series of steps to do that. But the first step was to like get all this stuff off my cards because all the interest rates were about to expire or expire shortly. So it's temporarily on their credit, and every month, when their credit gets updated, there's going to be a month or two where their credit takes a hit because they've got this giant thing that wasn't there before.
And you're
But
going to
it'll
pay them the interest for it or
it's at
something.
zero.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so, and then at some there's a date at which you either pay it off in full or you start making payments.
It's a credit card, so I'm going to make payments every month, but the interest is
Okay.
at zero for like a full year. So I've got a year to
Okay.
like
But you're going to
figure out
make
how to work.
payments every month.
Oh yes. I'm going to auto pay it. I'm very responsible with that. I take it very seriously that someone else has said, I will lend you my good credit to
And
help
what
you.
are they checking in, what do they want to see when they check in on you? What is the criteria by which they're going to judge that will make them feel okay?
It's a great question. I think the conversation was had when everybody was a little heightened. I did my best to stay calm. What I remember being said was like, "Well, we'd like to see all of your numbers. We'd like to see everything you're spending." And I'm like, "That's not really appropriate." So I, one of the question that I'm getting clearer on now is like, I want to be clear on what's healthy and appropriate for me to come to and say, this is what would work for me, because this is kind of a new thing to be in this position and be in this course and be changing my mindset and my practices. And so I wasn't sure of the words in the moment. So I agreed to a monthly something, but I can hammer out the details.
I mean, it's always, I see your hand, Kate. It's always sticky when you get into these things and then people feel they have now room to like, poke around.
Yes,
But my question to them would still be, if I show you all my numbers, what are you looking for them to tell you? Are you looking for certain numbers to increase? Are you looking for there to be more income coming in than expenses going out? Like, what are they looking for?
My feeling was that because they were suddenly afraid or triggered, that they uh-huh. wanted to kind of, you know, kind of felt like a kindergartner or second grader. They're like, we're going to check your numbers and make sure, like, they didn't, this is all me. This is how I received it.
Yeah.
We're going to check your numbers and make sure that you're bringing in more than you're putting out and that you're on track. And I'm like, oh, okay. But the way I received that was like, that feels horrible because it feels like they're going to micromanage everything because now they've got a stake in my finances because I'm using their cards.
My thought is, if they don't, just for you to get clear, if they don't like what they see, what's the worst thing they could do? Kick you off their cards? Like, what? What are they? What would they do?
I think they would probably like to boss me around and tell me what to do with my spending.
Okay, but you don't have to do anything they say.
Correct.
So, you know, they can, even if you show them your numbers, and even if they're like, I'm asking you, if they say you need to do this and you don't do it, what's the consequence? What will they do with your money, your credit card? Like, can they boot you off? Like, what?
They cannot. The charges have already gone through, and they definitely would not be like, hi, this is fraud. Why don't you they so definitely wouldn't do any of that.
If you make your monthly things and they want to come in and give you advice every month, you could just listen to it and then go, okay, great. Thanks.
Hey. Okay. So this is what I wanted to talk to you about. So I wanted just the reality check that response is healthy and okay, that I'm not sort of not standing up for myself and, you know, drawing a line and setting about, like,
It's hard to draw a line when you ask for a giant favor from someone.
And okay.
You're getting a little, their
freaked
own
out.
Baggage,
okay.
Their own life and their own relationship with money
right.
is making
okay.
them feel a little skittish now that they've done the favor.
Yes, it is a favor and a very appreciated one. Yeah.
They don't need to see all your numbers.
Okay.
But you can show them, here's my income.
Okay. Like a little summary,
you know, form. And then if they say things, you can just be like, and in fact, let them not say it to your face verbally. Let them just say it in email and then just be like, what ifs, Kate?
Okay.
Yeah. I feel you so much on this, Karen. I mean, I had a similar situation, and my person was my brother, and it was fine until it wasn't.
Okay.
But it doesn't sound like this is not fine. It sounds like there are questions they probably should have asked you up front,
maybe,
when making this arrangement, that they didn't.
Yeah.
And my thought is if it were me, I would take a very business-like approach. And I would say something like, you know, I've hired an expert to help me, you know, reorganize my finances.
Yeah.
We've put together a debt plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this card is in my top three priorities of the debt plan, or my number one priority, whatever it is. And my plan is to pay this much every month until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work for you? And I can send you an email to confirm every month, you know, when that payment goes through, but I've automated it and you should be able to see it on your statement. Does that work for you? And, you know, I think that might be able to head off their need and desire to get into your business.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to professionally, you know, in a professional tone, explain to them how you're managing it and how you're going to keep them informed.
Okay.
So that's my thought for you. And I hope that's helpful.
No, very helpful. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. And everybody, that's Kate London. The awesome Ask Kate in the Abundance Bound community is that wonderful woman right there. Thank you, Kate. Cricket, did you have your hand up for this or for something for this?
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yay.
Yes. Just really quickly, a friend of mine offered to help me with medical expenses about 10 years ago as a gift. And she said, this is a gift. And she asked me how much I thought I would need. And she said, I have talked to my therapist.
And, yay, therapy. Yes.
I talked to my therapist. And she didn't want to be in a parental relationship where she was having to look at all the numbers. She thought she smartly thought that that was going to hurt our friendship. Mm. And so I put together what I thought was a reasonable amount, and she wrote me a check for that amount. And then that was it. And that was 10 years ago, and we're still very, very close friends.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
That sounds tricky.
It's tricky. And I, you know, I'm thinking about, like, hopefully down the road when I'm a gazillionaire, I will be very happy to help my friends and family with very clear, beautiful boundaries around them. And thank you, Christine, for reminding me. I kind of knew it, but I forgot it for a second, amnesia, that this is like a really big deal that this person is doing for me. It's helping me a lot.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot that I got triggered along with them being afraid. So thank you for the reminder.
Yeah. And if you keep going in with the energy and expressing to them, you know, I want us both to feel comfortable about this because I do value the friendship and I know that this is a big gift. So what do you need from me to continue to feel comfortable about this arrangement until it's concluded?
That's such beautiful language. And very often I know I've come to you and I've said, what are the words? Because I didn't have them. So I love those words so much. I love that it's we.
Yeah.
What can I do to help us be more comfortable? That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
They're getting triggered. You're getting triggered. Yeah. But this is great work for your business muscles to maneuver through this high charged situation that is beneficial to you. And they obviously want to help. And so you're just going to help the both of you get through this.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Got it. That feels so much like, I feel like I've exhaled like that. That's feels got it.
Great.
Thank you. Perfect.
You're
Thank
very
you so
welcome.
Much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You have such friends. That's a real testament.
It's yes. I'm going to bathe that with a lot of gratitude and remember that through the whole thing. Yeah.
Awesome. Trisha, did you have your hand up for this or for something else?
Like for something else.
Okay, great. I have you there. Cricket.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Cricket is now a cash flow tiger. She's a film festival consultant. She has earned some money from her new biz. Congratulations. You have two paying clients, a couple more possibilities in the future. And you feel like you've learned a lot about how you want to do this. And that's the only way you learn is by like, let me try it this way. Nope. Okay. Let me adjust it this way. Fantastic. So
true. So true.
So what you wrote is you've expanded your offerings. So Cricket has a long history in working for an actual institution where she has helped budding filmmakers in an educational way. And so she knows a lot about how to get your film into festivals and all of that stuff. So now she's consulting now on the side of that other job. So you wrote, I have expanded my offerings based on potential client feedback, and you now offer an hourly consultation rate, a deluxe consultation package of $1,200 plus, where you do all the heavy lifting for them, and a cheaper advisory package that's more in line with independent budgets, so like $500 plus. I've done a few talks here and there for organizations, and I now want to do another one of my 90-minute Ask Me Anything sessions that's free or suggested donation, as well as a more structured How to Build a Prescott class that I would definitely charge for. I'm thinking of an hour of material, 30 minutes for Q&A. And then the question is how much to charge for the press kit class. And I want to make the recording available for those who can't attend the class, but for a limited time, say 30 days, so I don't have to pay the Zoom storage fees. And for the Ask Me Anything you thought you might offer, that it's free or a suggested donation. And if you do donate, I'll send the Zoom recording available for 30 days. Check you out. I love that. That's great. You can come live for free. If you don't want to come and want the recording, or if you want to come and want the recording, donate something.
I want to make it accessible for people in different time zones. And now that, well, we're back to normal life, things are so much more hectic that I thought this was a good solution. But I do not want to be in charge of managing a Zoom library over a long period of time.
Yep. Nope. I love that. I think it's appropriate. I would go for that. And so the press kit class, how much? So here's my question. With an hour of material, do you think 30 minutes is enough for Q&A?
You know, I honestly don't know. The reason I chose that is because so many filmmakers do a portion of what goes into a press kit for their submissions accounts, but they don't go the full distance. And it's really important to go the full distance. So a lot of times people will know to do log lines, bios, director statements, but they won't know how to put it all together in a kit. And so it's a good question. I mean, if I don't know. I think that it could be 30 minutes. I think that if people have individual questions or more specific questions, it could easily go longer. It could easily go to 2 hours.
Okay.
But I don't know that I want it to be a full-on workshop where we're doing a lot of workshopping of material.
Okay. Then an hour and 30 minutes for Q&A, an hour of content, 30 minutes of Q&A. You can also do 45 minutes of content, 45 minutes Q&A.
Okay.
Depending, but that sounds right. And it's really like polishing your press kit. Mm-hmm. The things you don't know about making this a professional level marketing tool, something like that, right?
Right. That's what you're,
yeah.
You know, I could offer it as a two-class thing where class one is what I just described and class two is where people submit their material. No, I want them to hire me at consultation rate on that.
Yes. I want you, though, to be clear about the positioning of the workshop. That's why I said polishing your press kit, because that assumes it's not press kit 101. Because you don't want people go like, I already have a bio. I already have a log line. I already have a press kit. And you're like, no, you don't. You actually don't have a press kit.
Right.
Have some assets.
Right.
Is that what, am I reading that clearly? Like, that's what you actually want to communicate to them? Like,
I want to communicate to them that they all need to rewrite their log lines because they probably suck. And that's, I apologize for that language to everyone. They need to think like a marketing person. No, I think that the question is more about how I describe the class is like, we will cover what is a what makes a strong log line and how to put everything together effectively into a press kit.
Okay, I'm writing something. And a press kit is to do what? What's the end goal? Like to sell the film, get financiers? Like what's a press kit for in this world?
Well, there are a lot of ways that they get used that we cannot necessarily predict, but things could happen that the filmmaker gets into a festival And they have taken the time to create their press kit. And when the local newspaper asks for specific films to review, the festival will send over the press kits of the people who have one, because they're very easy to forward as opposed to working within the submissions platforms. If you want to do outreach, marketing outreach to organizations that might be interested in seeing your film, then it's an easy document to send out that has all the information, posters, still photos, and everything. Okay. So it's for PR purposes that, it's for PR purposes, easy communication.
Okay. So how does this sound?
Okay.
I really want your title and subtitle to communicate to the people who are thinking, well, I already have that. I don't need to take this. Like, meh. So what about polishing your press kit to a professional level? How to make sure your material showcases your film to the fullest? How to make sure your materials showcase your film to the fullest? Does that make sense?
How to make sure your materials
showcase your film to the fullest.
Your film.
So polishing your press kit to a professional level, how to make sure your materials showcase your film to the fullest. Now, the reason, and you can use any variation on that or not at all, but what my mind is thinking with that title is, one, who would be the people who are on the fence going, ah, well, do I really need this?
And
you want to kind of, the sizzle is pushing the bruises of their insecurity.
Right.
Polishing your press kit. Ooh, is mine at a professional level? Is it polished? Like, I don't know. How to make sure. Yeah, because I want to make sure your materials showcase your film to the fullest. Like, ooh, they showcase my film, but maybe not to the fullest. What does she know that I don't know? Let me give her some money.
Okay.
The title and the subtitle is about getting people to be like, I need this information. Because if it's just sort of like, how to do a professional or how to do your press kit, people are like, well, I already have a press kit.
Yeah.
And then they think it's good enough, but you're right. Like, oh no, no, honey, it needs to be professional, high level, and make sure it markets your film to the fullest. Oh, now I'm paying attention to you. Makes sense. That's just some food for thought, for everyone when you're like titling things. And then the steak, that's the sizzle, getting people curious, getting people, ooh, doubtful that they need that, not doubtful, like wanting to make sure they have all the information and getting people interested. The steak is, we're doing it on Thursday at 10 a.m. over Zoom. You'll learn this and this and this, and we'll cover this and we'll have Q&A time. That's the steak. But the sizzle is the title, subtitle, and descriptive couple of paragraphs maybe. Gotcha. Of like, hey, we're digging into this, because so often filmmakers forget, there's three things that filmmakers forget, and we're going to cover them because I want to make sure that you are going into this, putting your best foot forward and making a great first impression every time.
Right.
Okay. So how much do you want to charge for it?
Somewhere between $25 and $50.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to have to do some prep for this.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it would be a service, because I did a talk with a women's organization, an organization of women filmmakers recently. And I had a little sign up sheet and asked them, what would you like to see an information session about? And that's the one that I got the most about.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me. So I want it to be something that feels not crazy out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
And so 30, 40, 50, somewhere along there. But then if we're going to get into the nitty gritty of me going over their materials, I think that's where
you're going to answer questions. No, going over their materials is a
book
private.
Private.
Yeah, that's why you have the hourly consultation rate.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And which you mentioned, by the way, now this was for you guys to have the information. If you feel confident taking it, great. If you would like someone to sit down and we can really go over and massage it and polish that to a nice shine, happy to work with you. My rate is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So what about $45 or $47?
I think 40 or 45 sounds like I'm thinking about me paying for this class, right? Uh-huh. Like 40 doesn't sound as scary as 45.
Okay. Do 40. You can always next time you can always raise it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's important. I'm not here to be like, for shit, 47 for, but I'm here to not have it 25, but I'm also here for you to find the price that you're like, this is a good deal. This is because I want that price to fly out of your mouth, like with rock solid alignment of like 40 bucks for this best deal in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realized, Christine, that I need it. I mean, you and I had worked so hard on coming up with the big deluxe package that was $1,200+. And then one day a friend of a friend wrote me and she wanted to know my rates. And I knew she wasn't going to be able to afford that. Mm-hmm. And I know that most of the people that I know who want my services can't afford it. So on the fly, I wrote this new thing. Mm-hmm. That is $500, two meetings. They do all the research. I just do the coaching, and it's $500 as opposed to starting price of $1,200. And mm-hmm. And what I realized is so many filmmakers are really great at research. They can do it. They just need answers to their questions.
Perfect.
So I kind of feel like that is probably going to take off faster than the other one, which is fine because it takes much less of my time.
Right.
And I think it's a good price.
I think so too. And for everyone, the reason it is fine to have smaller, cheaper packages, mm-hmm. but what's not fine is for you to then let the scope creep of that package. Oh, but this person also needs this and they also need this. And I'm not saying you're going to do that, but if we hadn't talked about the work that you would really be doing and why $1,200 for that scope of work is a good price.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to offer the $500 and stick to what you're promising in that.
Well, also now that I have done the bigger one and the smaller one, and I realize how much work the bigger one is, you tried to get me to raise my price even higher than $1,200 as a starting point. And I was like, no. And now I'm like, I think I'm going to have to do that. It's just, it's a lot. Yeah.
But if you have a 1 hour. Consultation that people can buy how many hours they want. You have a 500 and you have a 1600, which is what we originally talked about.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And people can just buy the 500.
They can choose. And I also have a contract, and I made a contract for the $500 one as well, because I don't want to have that creep. Because I will do it. I will let it happen.
Yes, I know.
If I have a contract.
You have a big heart. That's how I know, because you have a big heart and in your other setting for your regular job, you don't have those constraints because you're an under salary. So you're like, help. You're just offering, dishing out the help. But this is very different.
This is very different. This is very different. Yeah. And so, so I'm really curious to see, I suspect that, what I was going to say is that I have realized that another way to expand my income is to do these smaller classes and to be responsive to what people are telling me they need. Mm-hmm. And so that might actually, like, if 10 people come to this press kit class at $40 a pop, that's $400. I think that it will be interesting to see over the next year where most of the income is coming from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is what the 1 hour consultation rate is for. If someone does a $500 thing and they're like, oh, but can we just work on this other thing? You're like, yeah, buy an hour and we'll work on that thing.
Absolutely.
Now you have this little ecosystem where the blocks kind of interlock and you do the classes and you do the free thing. Now you have your bases covered. No one could accuse you of like trying to rip off filmmakers. It's like, oh no, there's a whole suite of how you can get access to my brain.
And I also think that the people who are going to pay for my services are often the ones who have already gone out into the world and struggled with it. And then they're like, oh, I need help. And I'm happy to provide it.
Yep, absolutely. Feel free. Go out and DIY it and then come back to me when you are ready to not do that. Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm so excited. I haven't been here because I've been traveling. I've been to 3 festivals this year and today I got the email and I was so excited because I wanted to ask you this question. So,
yeah. And no one ever has to apologize that they were off doing their side biz and had to miss. My success will be when no one's here because everybody's off making money. And it's like, well, that's great. Success.
I know.
Yeah,
I'll be thinking of you anyway.
Absolutely. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Trisha.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Thank you for your questions because I learned so much. I, Christine, want to say first that I have closed the gap between what I am spending and what I'm earning in large part due to our work together. So thank you very much.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. I appreciate having the offerings. Like, I've been teaching the classes at the Barrow Group and saying in the second to last class, I also offer a mastermind group and game plan calls. And I've had repeat customers now. I've had Sky Eric take me up on a number of game plan calls, 90 minutes, 190. And I'm completing my first mastermind group on May 31st. I had 6 people sign up for $200 for 4 sessions. So I feel like I'm building something. Thank you for the little emoji, Kate. I just feel like I'm not a very consistent person when it comes to, I never send out emails. Like never done a newsletter. That's terrifying to me. I've never just like let friends know what I'm offering. I'll do it on social media because it feels safe to me. But even there, I don't do it with consistency and I just kind of like throw it out there and then run and hide. So I'm wondering if there's a way that I can sort of get a system going or some consistency with what I'm offering. And, you know, I related to what Karen Eileen said about, like, I think the idea of having to do this over and over again is like, no way, that's not fair. That's not a party. But I also really love the feeling of making money. Like, that's new. Mm-hmm. Of having a little more control of it and being like, whoa, you know, I can just offer this thing and then money comes in.
Right.
That's a really nice feeling. And also feeling like I'm actually being of service and providing value to people in a genuine way is really a lovely feeling. So right now I have four jobs. You know, I'm a personal trainer. I do coaching on Zoom. I teach at the Barrow Group. I do scenario-based training in person at charter schools, where I play like an irate teacher or irate parent or something. And then I'm, you know, an actor when that work comes in. And I kind of like the variety, but I also worry about like spreading myself so thin. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are the things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. And when you feel like you're spreading yourself so thin, what of those things that you're doing is the one that feels like, oh, the heaviest lift?
Personal training with certain clients. Like I have a 79-year-old client who's very consistent, but she has scoliosis and hip issues. And so it feels more like being a physical therapist than a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, she needs a lot. She presents as very tough, but underneath all of that is like a very scared, which I get, you know, like I can't imagine what it's like to be in her position. And I do feel like I'm being of service and that I'm really helping her. Mm-hmm. But I notice that I really steel myself before I go into the session because I know that she's going to be like, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? What is this for? Why are we doing this? And it just feels like a big energy. She's also, you know, she's paying me $150 an hour. I'm seeing her twice a week. So, and she's quite consistent when she doesn't go away for a month and a half. So there's part of me that's just like, suck it up, just do the thing. Then I, you know, I have Allison who pays me $120 an hour, sees me four times a week. She's 37. She's like very goal oriented. She's really driven. And she still has, you know, some physical ailments. She has a weak ankle and a knee issue, but she's just like, let's hit it, you know? And so I find myself like rising to the occasion, like, oh, you know, she kind of challenges me to show up more fully and have my shit together. And like, yeah. You know,
how did you find Allison?
She's a former actress who's now in sales, and she's, you know, has been following me on Instagram, and I'll post every once and again about, I did this push-up challenge in December and it was just like 5 push-ups a day. I made it really silly, but I was like reading the book Tiny Habits and reading mm-hmm. Atomic Habits and just kind of trying to tell people like, it doesn't have to be, you know, that you run a marathon every day. It could just be you do 5 pushups a day and you create the habit of exercise. So I filmed myself doing 5 pushups every day, sometimes with my boyfriend and sometimes with my mom. And so she reached out to me after that and was like, hey, can I hire you? I can't afford $150 an hour, but what can we do? You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So and, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't think I had anything else to say. Okay.
So when you think about an email list, do you have a list for the personal training? Is it just for actors? Would you want to cross-pollinate any of that?
I could, you know, I get gun shy, I think, with the personal training, because I have this limiting belief that it's going to be all people with physical ailments that reach out to me. And it's probably, you know, that law of attraction thing, but like I was just in the gym in my building. This woman saw me correcting my boyfriend's form on the lat pull down. She pulled him aside and was like, is she a trainer? And this woman rides the recumbent bike at like 0.1 miles an hour. Like her feet are barely moving. And I just felt everything in my body be like, no, like, I don't want to train this woman. And so thank God, like I had the wherewithal to just like, I had this long conversation with her, which was a list of her ailments. And I just said to her, you know what? I don't want to train anyone in the gym that I go to. I want this to be my off space. And she was like, I totally get it, whatever. But I have that belief that like, everybody who's going to want to train with me is going to be that woman, you know?
Okay. This is great. So, do you have someone you can refer people like that to?
Another trainer actually that you trust and like and who work. Could you find somebody?
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
I would like you to find at least one person that you like and trust that you can refer clients to because you don't have space for them.
Okay.
And then you can be, but you know what? I want you to contact Tracy because Tracy might be great. Good fit for you. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to give a reason other than like my training schedule is full right now.
Great.
So that will help. Who would you love to train? Who would be dreamy clients for you?
I can only base it on people I've trained already. And they're normally in, I mean, not to be ageist, but they're normally in the like 25 to 55 year old range. And they're like, they usually have a specific goal. Mm-hmm. And they like a challenge. They're not careful with their bodies. They're not like afraid or unfamiliar with physical movement. They have a base level of coordination and there's, you know, maybe like a competitiveness or something to them. They like to be pushed. Uh-huh. So it makes my job easier. They also like to learn because I love variety. So I like to challenge people with a variety of movements and I have a dance background. So I love like choreography and stuff. So like if I give them a bunch of compound movements and they get excited, I'm like, yeah, like that's my jam, you know?
Okay. And if you met somebody who fit that criteria, how often would you need to meet with them?
I mean, in order to like match their goals.
Like it or enjoy it. Like do people, I don't know what people want. Do they usually do twice a week? Do they usually do once a week?
Yeah, they usually do twice a week. And okay. I actually prefer that. Like uh-huh. I've trained people like four times a week and it gets to be a little bit like, oh my God.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
And you're $150 each time.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's $300 a week. And okay. Hold on one second. Getting the calculator out.
Okay.
$300. Do you see an attrition rate after a certain amount of weeks of working with you? Are people usually like 3 months and then they go look for something else?
They can take some time off and then come back kind of a thing. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah. How long of chunks of time, 6 weeks, 8 weeks?
Well, I've found that it depends on how wealthy they are. Like the wealthy uh-huh. tend to go away for like a month yes. at a time. And I'll do that every 3 to 4 months, if not more.
Okay. Well, what if you set up your business mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So there's a difference between finding clients, which is good. It's good. You now have a muscle that you can find clients. You've done it before. You could do it again. So now let's kick it up for you. Why don't you just design something for your ideal client? And that's what you offer. And that's how you work. And that's who you work with. And I think I was already thinking this. And then everything you said just fell right into place where it's like, I want a goal-oriented person who, you know, likes a challenge, who likes to learn, who wants to kind of kick things up a bit, who isn't afraid of like compound movements. In fact, they just love it. The choreography of it doesn't intimidate them. So what if you did training sprints? I'm a personal trainer and I work with clients in training sprints. Each sprint is 6 weeks long. We meet twice a week. It's $1,800. They can plan it, fit it, slice it into their, you know, right before the vacation, right after. If they want to split it 3 weeks before, 3 weeks after, you know, sure. And then they just pay you $1,800, like at the beginning to hold time on your schedule. So you're getting a nice chunk of change. You have their commitment and it's not forever because a lot of times the problem with something like therapy or personal training is like, how long am I going to need this? Like, I mean,
they look at 150 an hour and they're like forever.
Right.
But, and who you're, so when you talk about this thing that you offer, you're like, who is this right for? It's somebody who wants to shake up their routine. It's someone who wants to make improvements by improving their form. It's someone who wants to learn some new things and just shake it up. It's someone who has a goal that they want to meet and they just want to put that goal front and center for 6 weeks, you know?
I love that.
Yeah. And then you can talk about it of like, oh, I do training sprints. I have two openings right now. Let me know if you know, anybody wants to get on the calendar for May or whatever. Like, and then it's easier for you to plan this stuff around your own schedule as well, of how many people you take on or how many people you don't.
Love it. Is there another word I can use besides sprints, just because people associate that with running sprints?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Pick any word that means like, you're just giving your package a name.
Yes, right. Okay.
You know, pick a nice, fun.
How about a training burst?
Oh, that's great. Laura's iPhone.
A burst. A
training burst.
Yeah, that's great.
Training burst.
Great.
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
Training burst, like that. Yeah, that really just energized me. Because I too have that same sense of like, oh my God, this is going to drag on forever. Even if I like the client. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't, you're like, bye.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I have filled my schedule now, but come call me back in 8 months.
It's great.
You know? And if someone's like, oh no, I want to keep working with you. Then you're like, well, you need to get on the calendar. So pay me $1,800 and we can.
Yeah.
Six more weeks.
So is this something I would send out in an email blast?
Okay. So we're going to now talk about.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So, but the thing about that is it took something that you like doing. Cause I know you've mentioned before that you like doing this. It's not like you want to get that out of your life in the minute, but let's do it so that you're excited about doing it and that you're getting paid well to do it, which adds to the excitement. And it's like, yeah, this is something I do. And there is absolutely no reason for you to be nervous about saying you do training bursts over here and you work with actors. And hey, actors, if you'd like to work with me in this way too, we can totally do that. Because you know what's difficult for people? It's difficult to find people you like and trust. If I like and trust you as an acting teacher and you're like, I can totally help you with your physicality. It's like, great. I like you. Let's keep working together in a different way.
Yes.
Yeah. And you want your training clients to know that you work with actors, because who in LA doesn't know an actor? I think they'll just feed nicely into both.
I'm in New York, but.
Oh, but same thing. Who in New York doesn't know an actor?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. You're set. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really about, in all of these sections of your life, what do I want to do as an actor? Who do I want to work with as a trainer? How do I want to teach the acting? I want to teach it like this. And then I want to have these consultations and I want to have these groups. And yeah, just do it your way. There are enough people out there that there are enough people who will want to do it your way. So now your job is twofold. One, to let people know what you do and to communicate with them enough so that they start to like you and start to see who, or go, that's not my person. So this email list, is that mostly for like actors that you were thinking of like email?
Yeah. I mean, most of the people that I know tend to be actors, writers, okay, and directors. Yeah.
And do you have an email list, right? Of actors that you've taught and stuff like that?
Or? Yes, I do have that. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have social media.
Mm-hmm.
So how often would you like to reach out to your community? Once a month, twice a month?
I mean, I actually like to write. I think it's like like the idea of writing twice a month is like, yeah, that could be really lovely, but it's also really terrifying because I guess I don't know exactly what I'd be saying.
Yeah. And when you think writing, mm-hmm. like you have to write paragraphs long for this thing.
Okay.
No, yeah. People don't right. want to read paragraphs.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't want to write them. There's yeah. no need. So, and are you, okay. So what if, are there 12 things about, okay, the reason you're writing the email is to let people know that you can help them with problems, because that's what people give you money for. So in each of the emails, it's about like, hey, have you ever thought about this little thing or this, you know, something like this, or here's a little reframe, or here's something to think about. It's something I help clients with, or it could be a little client story. Mm. People love stories. Like, here's this thing. I was, you know, working with one of my clients the other day, and you know, she was doing this thing that so many people do. It's this thing and blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah. Do you feel that? Like, this is the problem. And then this is what I worked with her on. This is, we worked on making this shift, and, you know, it resulted in this problem, solution, result. And then if you would like to, you know, if this sounds familiar, we should talk. I do da da da.
Great.
So I would like you to make a list of 12 little tiny common things that your actors in your mastermind group are like, oh my gosh, you know, it would be like me making a list of like, what are the common things that people come to Cashflow asking about, mindset stuff, or how do you price things? Just little tips, little, like not even, but less tips and more a little story.
Okay.
About, yeah, this is a common problem, but this is how, this is not the step-by-step how you solve it, but that there is a solution to it. And once we find that solution for you, it could result in something like this, because that's what happened to my other client. Like, so you're telling us you work with clients all the time. 12 little things about acting and 12 little things about training. Why is a 6-week burst good to do? Why do you love compound movements? How do you blend your choreography mindedness and your dance experience? How does that influence your training, and how does somebody benefit from that? Or why does it make it more enjoyable? Okay. So then you have, with 12 acting and 12 personal training, then you're going to send out 24 emails every year, and you're going to alternate. One acting, one personal training, one acting, personal training, one acting, personal training. And then when you get to the end of the year, you just recycle all of it. You just go through, you send the exact same emails out. So now you only have to write 24 emails.
Oh.
And then I have my Golden Nuggets series of, they're in, on videos, but they've been running for like, I did them in 2013. That's what people get when they sign up for my list, because they're great. People don't need more information. They need to take action. And the emails are to spur them into action. But here's what else I want you to do. So when I get an acting one from you, oh, my client, she's so great. And she's on this television show. And we did like a private coaching. And she had this thing she was doing, this little tick. And I just want to share it because I think some of you might be doing it too. And we worked on this, blah, blah, blah. Hope you have a great week. If we need to talk, absolutely. P.S. In addition to working with actors, I also train. And I have a couple seats left.
I do 6 weeks training boosts. Here's where you can read all about it. Every time you do an acting email, the PS is about your training. And every time you do a training email, the PS is about your acting. So every 2 weeks, I'm being reminded, oh yeah, she does this and this. She does this and this. And that's just your regular stuff. And then every time you send out one of those emails, post the same thing on your social media. Mm-hmm. Just the exact same thing. Get a whatever picture you put in your email, use it for social, and put the text of the email in the thing of the social. So now you're at least posting twice a month. So that's just your regular, I'm letting everyone in my universe, my friends, my list, everybody know stuff. Now, not your friends. This is what I just described with the 24 emails is for your email list. Okay. But in addition to the routine marketing, every time you're opening a new mastermind group or you kind of want to get some more coaching clients, you can do extra, not instead of, but in addition to, hey guys, we're doing like a push-up challenge or, hey, I'm filling my mastermind group. This is why you should think about it. This is what the good thing, this is what somebody said. Here's another testimonial, like blah, blah, blah. Like you just do a little flurry, little launching flurry. Like you did with the push-up thing, just to spike extra interest. But that's in addition, those 24 emails just sit there and go out no matter what is happening. You're not going to bother people. God gave them a delete key. They can use that delete key if they want to. You're going to attract your right people and you're going to spur business. Does that sound doable?
Yes. I mean, everything sounds doable when it comes out of your mouth. I mean, you just give everything a framework, which is really helpful because otherwise my brain makes it a big flurry.
Yeah. I understand.
Too much. Mm-hmm. I think I just have to do it, you know, like in the sort of phase of it just being in my head and being like, oh my God, 2 times a month, that sounds like so much, but I'm just going to rewatch this call, write down what you said, and give it a go. And it doesn't have to be perfect, and I will learn as I go.
Yes.
Yeah.
People who get to success only get there because they're willing to go through the ugly. It looks a little ugly at first or feels a little awkward at first, nauseating sometimes. Do it anyway. You can refine it. You can always take the old ones down and polish them up later on. But one day you'll dump training and you won't be doing that anymore. And one day you'll probably dump the whole thing because you'll be on a series for a while. But then when you're off the series, you drag those emails out again and you're like, here we go. Just looking for like evergreen things that lead up to you saying, if this resonates with you, or if you feel like we should have a conversation, contact me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
That's the call to action people talk about. Right. Every single email plus a PS call to action. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You're so lovely that if you just speak as you speak normally in these emails, you're not trying to impress, you're just trying to help and be like, so that's for your email list, but you also do need to let your friends, peers, colleagues, people who aren't on your mailing list know what you're up to. Mm-hmm. So like you should send out an email to your people probably 4 times a year, 2 to remind them that you are taking new training clients, and 2 to let them know, hey, if you know any actors, I'm starting my mastermind group starts again, or whatever, I'm teaching this class. So 2 on training, 2 on acting, pick those times of the year. And then just send those out like clockwork too. Don't even think about it. Just like, oh, short little email. Hey guys, if you know anybody who, and you describe it, your training bursts. Like if you know anybody who's
want to kick it up a notch, are looking to shake stuff up, are afraid that they've been working out at home, but their form may be lazy and that's why they're plateauing. I do these 6-week things. Just want to let you know.
Would I use MailChimp for that? Is that
for your friends and colleagues and stuff? I wouldn't. I would send those from your email address.
Okay.
Because you don't want to treat them as if they're on a mailing list.
That's true. Yeah.
Because they're not. And you get more traction if they see it's just an email that you're sending to them.
Gotcha.
Yeah. If those okay. are people, every that's like your VIP people. Friends, family, colleagues, peers.
Okay.
People who have groups of people like me who can then go, oh, I can share it with my people if I know what's going on with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Trisha. I'm so happy. You're like, oh, money. Yes, this is good. I like it. I'm getting used to it. Yeah. Danny, hi again.
Hello, hello. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, you just talked a lot about emailing, and that's really what my question is about too. So this should hopefully be kind of quick, but I have not taught my audition technique class since like last October, maybe. And I've got some students who have reached out to me being like, hello, when are we getting back in class? Because I left the studio that I was with because they just weren't paying on time. And after like 9 months, I was like, you guys are a new business. And like, I can deal with you saying like there's growing pains with the payment system that you guys have and like all this kind of stuff for a couple months. Or like you went to the hospital or whatever the excuse always was. I was like, but I'm done. So I have an opportunity. A friend of mine he's purchased a new studio space with some other people. And it's basically going to be like this artist's environment. So there's going to be like, it's like they have, I think, 3 suites in this complex that are theirs. So and part of it is going to be a classroom where me and some other coaches will be able to like actually teach class. And then there'll be like a taping studio, a voiceover studio, place where people are doing demo reel stuff, photo shoots for headshots, like everything that you can imagine is going to be here. So I know that there's going to be some like overlay between like my students will end up using some of their services and maybe people coming in for their services will end up being a potential student. But he told me that the space will likely be done with renovations in the next few days. So hopefully I'll be able to like get classes going. What's today? The 7th, by the end of the month or, you know, in the next couple of weeks, if I wanted to. So my questions are how to write an interest email that would garner more responsiveness, right? Because I have like an ongoing list of people who took my classes last year. But, you know, there would be a lot of months where I would just send out the blast being like, hey, for June classes, let me know who's interested, because I was the one doing that, not the studio. And it'll be the same because in this space, I'll be renting the space and then I'll be taking payments for my students. So, but a lot of times people just wouldn't respond. Like if they weren't going to take class, it was just like a lack of response, right? So I'm trying to figure out if you have any recommendations on the best way to draw a response, even if the response is not right now.
Mm-hmm.
The second question being what the subject line would be to make people want to open it instead of feeling like they're being targeted with like an advertisement to spend their money. You know what I mean? Because uh-huh. I want it to be something that, you know, is exciting and draws up, you know, feelings of being like, we know that Danny really adds value to the audition technique and she's a great coach. So like, let's open this and see what's going on. Cause it is a new space, right? It's like a new, totally new, different part of town. So I feel like maybe there can be some exciting language in there around like, I'm partnering with this brand new business, et cetera, et cetera. Right. Yeah. Cause I had a question around like, should I focus on it being new? Or should I focus on advertising what I do best? And it's sounding almost like kind of the same, like, hey, we're going to be, because class structure will be the same, but I kind of think that maybe it's both. Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Okay. So what I think I hear you saying is you have this list of people that have that have worked with you before.
Yeah.
And you'd like to send out an email of like, hey, do you want a seat in this new class?
Yeah.
So that's what you should ask them. I would say it doesn't matter that you can mention that you're in a new space. I wouldn't mention anything about the business. Like, hey, there's this and there's also this and there's that. It's too much information. You right now want a yes or a no, an in or an out, right?
Yeah.
So then that's it. That's what you're asking. I would put the subject line, one quick question. And I would actually email this individually to all the people on your list rather than send out a mass email through a MailChimp or something. Take those email addresses and send them individual emails that say, one quick question. Hi, Laura. You know, I've been looking for a new space to continue the audition technique class. And I'm excited and I'm happy to say I found one. So my quick question for you is, do you have a limitation on the amount of people you're going to have in this class?
Yeah.
What's the max?
I think I want the max to be 10.
Okay. And so I haven't done classes. I've been looking for a new space. Super excited that I found one. I'm sending this email in case you wanted one of the 10 seats that I have available for the class that starts in May. Please just hit reply to this email. And what I like to do is please just hit reply to this email please pick one of the following and hit reply to this email. And then I like to do multiple choice just because it's fun. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. I want one of those seats. B, not this time around, but let me know when the next one is. C, please remove me from your list, but you say it funny. Like my inbox is swamped. Please remove me from your list. Or I beg you, remove me from your list. I like you. That's, I like you so much, but I'm begging you to remove me from your list. I think that covers everything. Yes, I want to see. No, next time, please remove me from your list.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Thanks for taking the time to reply. Say that again. Thanks for taking the time to reply, Danny.
Yeah.
So now you're getting replies. The people who don't reply, you do an email with the subject line circling back on this ... And then you just send them a copy of the email. Just, you find the email you sent to them originally, hit forward so that it has the full email you sent plus the time stamp on when you sent it to them, and just said, subject line circling back on this. Hey, Laura, in case this got lost in your inbox, I'd love to have your answer to this one quick question.
Oh, for the people that haven't responded.
For the people who don't respond, you definitely circle back because it got lost in their inbox.
Yeah.
for the people who do respond, yes, 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 I want a seat. Then you hit them up with a payment link and go, great, we start here. Like, you need to give them the information. You can say in your little email, the original email, all the details are below. So below your signature line, you say, this is where it's at. This is when it's meeting. This is the time. This is the cost, blah, 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 blah. And the reason you do it below with all the details is it makes your email look shorter. People read short emails, but if you pack, so I like to extract any information I can to put below the signature and just indicate, oh, there's the details are below, because it makes my emails look shorter and then they get read more.
Okay.
So if someone says, yes, save me a seat, then the next email back to them has a payment link. Great. I have got a post-it note. I put your name on it and I'm going to stick it to the chair as soon as your payment hits. In your original email, you want to say, I'm reaching out to all, before I go to the general, before I send this out wide,
yeah,
I'm reaching out to the people I've worked with before to offer the seats. That's key. So it's like, hi, Laura. In fact, that's how I would start it. Hi, Laura. Before I send this announcement out wide, I wanted to circle, I wanted to offer this to the folks like you that I've worked with before and loved working with, you know, that kind of make that sound nicer. I'm starting a new class. Please hit reply to this email with one of the options below. Multiple choice. Thanks so much for taking a minute to reply. All the details are below. Yeah.
Okay. And right now, I don't know when I'll get the answer back, but I just sent like a couple days and times to the studio owner to be like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Let me know if one or both of these work. So yeah. If I want to get this out even before he's able to reply, I can just do like a to be determined when, but most likely Monday for Wednesday, or should I just hold off
completely? I would hold off because that's making more admin for you. Because then people are like, well, yeah, but I don't know the date. It just gives people an ability to stay on the fence longer. You want to give them all the details so they can make a decision, so you know.
Right.
Back and forth eats into your bottom line, eats into your network.
And I don't have like a payment link or anything like that. So I guess maybe I should just put my PayPal or something like that in there. Like, how would you? I have PayPal, I have Venmo. Those are probably the two platforms that I would use for it. So like I'm renting out the space and they're just paying me kind of thing. And then I'll run it through maybe I should actually create a business one, because I did just incorporate my business. And so I'll actually be running it through that this time around. So maybe I'll just have to I think Wells Fargo has Zelle. So maybe it'll just be like Zelle PayPal for the business or something like that I need to create. Okay. And then I was trying to work on price point because I know that I need to set aside like 30% for taxes and all of that jazz. And I'm in the Atlanta market, so it's not LA or New York. And I guess I want to stay reasonable. In this market, classes are on average like $200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anywhere from like probably $200 to $250, but I want to make sure that it's still like worth my time. So I've like written down, like if I have 8 students or 10 students at $225 versus $200, like what I'm making. Do you have any advice on how to choose?
Yeah. If you think you can get $225, get $225.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because when I was at the other studio, it was a brand new studio. So at first, like we were just so low. I kept it at like 140 and then it went up to like 160. And I was only making 60% of that because it was a 60-40 split with the studio. So it was a lot lower.
I mean, you have. Oh, so
here's the thing is that when you set your prices, you have to be realistic about like, well, I need to make at least this much money considering taxes and considering you're paying rent for the space. And what people do is like, oh, I'm afraid I can't get enough people, so I'll lower the price. It's like, or you can just do more marketing and get the people and keep the price. Find the people in Atlanta who are willing to pay and can pay $225 mm-hmm. instead of lowering the price. Right. Because a sale is still a sale. And if there are people out there who will pay $225, then it's just as difficult to make a sale to them as it is to lower the price point. People think you automatically lower a price and it's an easy sale. No, it's not. People still have to make a financial decision. Your job is to communicate the value of the $225. Why this class? Why should they work with you? These are the new people who've never worked with you before. Why this class? Why they should work with you? You know, what they're really going to get out of it, what you're going to help them, you know, the arc of the journey that you're going to help them go on. Mm-hmm. All the stuff that makes it like, wow, I want to try this class.
Oh man. I've never been somebody who's had to actually market. And I kind of loathe the idea of that because I really don't want that to be the case.
Why do you loathe the idea of it?
It feels icky to me. I think that I feel icky getting stuff that feels like it's a marketing ploy or like, I don't know. I think I just genuinely internally, if I'm being transparent, have a lot of judgment in that area. When I see other people doing it and I know how it makes me feel. And so I don't want to make other people feel that way. Also, I very much believe in like word of mouth and people spreading the good news kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. although I know that that's not necessarily the best business tactic for me, it's always worked that way, both with my taping service here in Atlanta. And then also ultimately with like my private coaching mm-hmm. and when I did classes. So I definitely think that I want to avoid getting into teaching class with a lot of marketing because I don't want it to start feeling not authentic to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
this is a really important thing, and we should definitely discuss it more at some point. But here's what I would like you to replace the word marketing with educating, mm-hmm. informing. For okay. word of mouth to spread, people have to know how to talk about you. You're giving people the words to talk about you. When I was starting out as an organizer, people didn't know what a professional organizer was. This was before Google. Like nobody knew. It was a brand new profession for most people. So I had to start a little newsletter to be like, hey guys, this is what I do. This is what it is. This is what it's all about. Because no one could refer me to anybody else until they understood what it was I did. Yeah. People who work with you are like, oh my God, Dani's great. Oh my gosh, she's so great. But even still, if they have more words to say about you, this is why she's great. She is so like, she does these arcs. She just takes us on this arc of a journey from, you know, assessing our skill set. And then she really is able to see what we do. And like, you're just giving them words to say to other people about you. That's all your newsletters are for. Oh, information. She's starting a new class. It's going to be here. It's going to be this much money. There's 10 seats.
Maybe I can add testimonials from other working actors who have coached with me, because that would feel better than me saying those things about me.
It's also, well, you have to provide the information.
Yeah.
But it's always best to have other people talking about you than you talking about you, of course.
Maybe if I put it in testimonial form on the email about like what you stand to gain or how is the,
yeah,
what you like about the class, I can maybe do it in testimonial.
Absolutely. If you've got them, definitely. People will respond to those.
Well, I'll have to reach out to my people, but like, yeah, I can get them easily because I've coached actors of all levels in all the markets. So somebody out there will be willing to write something down, I'm sure.
And it needs to be one or two sentences.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's totally all people will skim. How did you find Abundance Bound?
I know what you're doing. You're smart.
I am.
Because I heard it over and over and over again on Audrey's podcast.
Right.
Yeah. But also because, and I finally pulled the plug though, when I saw a live of her and Miata actually talking, and I could get a sensibility for a little bit more of who Miata is.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay. I feel a sense of trustworthiness and authenticity from her. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I can do this.
And then when you went from like making that kind of decision and then going to the sales page where you had to find the button to join, mm-hmm. did you feel all grossed out reading her sales page?
No.
It was like informative, right? Like,
oh. I still had all my like internal hesitancies about like, you know, like, do I want to pay $1,000 to do this thing right now? Sure. Or whatever. But that was it. I didn't feel off put at all. No.
And how did you get yourself over the $1,000? How did you go from that to pressing the buy button? What did you say up in here?
Well, I'm just somebody who believes in investing in yourself. So it was the same thing I did when I first transitioned to acting and had to become like a server or bartender, and my income plummeted from my law enforcement job. I was like, I can either talk about not having enough money in a surplus of my income to pay for these headshots or go to these acting classes, or I can, in this case, I was like, I can put it on a credit card and pay it off, you know, with 0% interest later, because if I don't do it, I could be saying I don't have money for the next 5 years and I'll still be in the same place. Or I can go ahead and take this leap now, gain the information and hopefully book sooner, which is what happened. And so in this case, I was able to use that same justification to be like, I could be in the same place, not knowing what the hell I'm doing with my money next year, or I can spend this $1,000 and empower myself.
Right. So you heard about that Miata even existed because she has done marketing with Audrey, and Audrey loves her. And so Audrey talks about her. And then Miata asked Audrey if they would do a live. That was Miata's ask. I know that 100% for sure. And, you know, so Miata's out there just talking about it, informing you, educating you. She didn't convince you to do it. You convince yourself. You're right. Not strong-arming anybody. You're going, here's the information. Here's, you know, what people have said. Here's the testimonials. Here's a little bit of me. This is what I look like. And the person convinces themselves, ah, this should be the right class for me. This sounds right. You're not manipulating anybody. The manipulation comes from you doing, you know, deciding which story in your brain you're going to believe. And one of those stories leads you to pressing the buy button.
Okay. Well, you just made me think of this all made me think of another aspect for my emails, which is, why not throw a link to a quick little video clip of me actually talking and being me?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. 100%. And I guarantee if you sit there tonight and think we all love being marketed to. We love being marketed to. I bet you could sit there. Yeah, I know. But I bet you could sit there and think of three things that you absolutely love in your life. You loved buying them. You love having them. You would buy them again. You were just like, I cannot believe this came into my life, but I love these shoes. Oh my God. I love my iPhone. Come on now. How did you then trace back? How did you hear about those pair of shoes? And when you found out about them, weren't you ecstatic? And you were like, bye, 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 bye. it's just education. It's just information. It's just, hi, I exist. If you want this, do you want, is this good for you now? Great. No. That's all Trisha's going to do. Hey, I do these things when you're ready over here. I'm just going to keep reminding you because life is very busy and I need to remind you. Yes. It's a story you're telling yourself about not wanting to be considered a slime ball. But you, Danny, are not a slime ball. So you're not going to, that's not the effect you're going to have on people. The effect you're going to have is, oh my gosh, she's so amazing. I'm so glad I found her.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. So go forth with those emails. And
thank you.
That is, yeah, I have another little, okay, Laura, can we do something super quick? Everyone, by the way, you can go if you need to go. You're not obligated to stay, but if you want to stay for Laura, are you there?
Are you guys okay if I keep my camera off? I've got COVID.
Yeah, I look absolutely. Like a troll. I'm so sorry.
It's like second time this year. It's a nightmare. Mine is just a quick add-on. Christine, I'm happy to finally catch on to the group. Thank you. We've moved and, you know, I'm here not to create cash flow. Thankfully, I made like $13,000 in December, but like the rest of people in this group, it's a flux. It goes up, it goes down. Had to hang on to more of it. But I wanted to add on to Trisha. Am I allowed to do that? Is that part of the group
dynamic? Absolutely. Please.
You taught me this years ago. When you're busy defining your client base, it's okay to tell those people the kind of client you're a right fit for. So Trisha, for example, I let people know, hey, look, let's give it 3 sessions. And in those 3 sessions, we're going to discover whether I'm the right teacher for you and you're the right student for me. And if not, I have fantastic colleagues I can refer you to.
Yep. That's cool. That is definitely a way to do it. Is this Laura Robbins?
It is. Oh. I know. Okay. I've missed you. We'll catch up soon.
Okay.
Trisha,
yeah. Do you want to say something?
Oh, no. I just wanted to say thank you for that.
That's,
of course. Sure.
Yeah. Bite size 3 sessions and we can decide. Yeah. And that flexibility too. Thank you.
Yeah, that's another way to do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And another way you can do it too is like the 6-week thing. You can say, you know, pay me the $1,800. But if after our first session, you're like wrong person, wrong thing, I will happily refund you everything but that one session. That's how I did as an organizer. Cause you know, people would, you know, hear about me and I usually got referred from somebody, but they've never had me in their house before. So I was like, if after any time within the first hour that I'm there, you're like wrong person, I would just leave. I wouldn't even have them pay me. Don't do that because you'll be doing the full hour of work. But so it just took the anxiety down a notch about like, okay, I can get out of this if she's a nightmare.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah. Cool. All right, guys, that is it. Laura, can you hang out just for a second after everybody departs?
Sure.
Thank you, Christine. Okay, good.
Yeah. Bye, guys. Everybody.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Have a great week. Bye.
Thank you.
How the heck are you?